Amazing. Wow, what a day. What a celebration. The old is gone and the new is here. Don't you get excited when new things happen? I do. I get really excited, but even more so when that's someone's life. And today, we're going to be witnessing the old disappearing, being washed away forever, and the new life coming because of the precious blood of Jesus that avails for all. That's what we're doing today. This is a celebration for us. This is a party. So you're welcome to participate and be with us and enjoy this incredible day, this moment in history for these young people who are devoting their lives to Jesus forever. And what a moment in history it is. So the old has gone and the new is here, as Chris shared earlier on as well. What is water baptism then? Well, it's an outward sign of being washed clean of our sin, okay? But that blows my mind. We the sinner, we the person who's made all the mistakes, get this free gift of life, not because of anything I've done, but because of Jesus. And we all sit here today, sinners, but washed by the precious blood of Jesus that avails for each and every one of us. No one of us is any more special than the other. In the eyes of God, we're all equal. We are co-heirs with Christ, as it says in the Bible. And today, we are going to witness the joy of being washed clean of sins and forever a new life ahead. It's a burying of the old self and old ways and being united with Jesus Christ in his death, burial, and resurrection. So not only does all that happen, but we are united in Christ. We get to be with him forever. We get to worship him forever. Eternal life, that's what we're talking about. This isn't just a one-off transaction. This is a lifelong mission, journey that we embark upon with our Savior. Wow. And Mike shared about his own personal baptism. And if you think back to your own baptism, that moment of sheer joy and delight at knowing that you're with God forever, that you are worshiping with him forever, and that you have a new life. You enter into this new life with him. You are living a new life. We become separate from the world. We might be in the world, but we're not of the world. Our lives are heaven-bound. Our home is in heaven. It says in the Word, we are aliens of this world, and we're encouraged to live godly lives in order that others may see our good deeds and glorify God. That's what it says in 1 Peter 2, verses 11 to 12. So actually, our active lives of being godly and doing good works may lead others to glorify God. It's amazing that we have the baptism pool outside. You know what? Others will see that today, especially if you're coming around this side. I suspect when the noise is erupting from here, Fairwater will be shaking with the excitement and the joy of our Heavenly Father meeting with his people through his Holy Spirit. So we are a witness today of the good things that God has done. But we are aliens of this world. It says in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 20, we are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. So we are ambassadors of Christ. We become ambassadors of Jesus Christ. So that is what we're doing. I'm going to quickly read some verses today. Now, I haven't been prepared enough to pull all my slides together because David only gave me a few minutes today. Ah. Well, you're probably quite happy, actually. So I'm not going to be going on a long time this morning, so I thought I'd just read out some of the verses that are on my mind as we think about this joyous morning. What should we say then? Should we go on sinning? This is Romans 6, verse 1 through to 11. So that grace may increase? By no means. We died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. If we have been united with him like this in his death, we will certainly also be united with him in his resurrection. For we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. Because anyone who has died has become freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Remember that word, alive to God in Christ Jesus. That's what we are, brothers and sisters. We are alive to God through Christ Jesus. Now, you might say, well, this all sounds fantastic. Where do I sign? This is a nice, easy life. I switch from a hard life, a difficult way of sinful ways, into this really easy, joyful celebration. Well, that's not strictly true. And I'm sure if you speak to any friends and beloved family around here today, they will tell you of the trials and tribulations. This is not a guarantee for an easy life. In fact, the enemy seeks to distract us. We're blinded by the fake bright lights of this world at times, and sin can so easily entangle us. But God is with us as we go through our challenges, as we go through our hardships, as we go through our trials and tribulations. And more than that, you might think that you're coming here today to witness and watch some people being baptized in water. But may I challenge you, as we were recently challenged in a wedding, to support those who are giving their lives and being baptized in water to Jesus today. Don't just look on passively, but think about how can we help these individuals in their walks with Jesus. That's what the church is about. The church is about encouraging one another, building one another up, supporting each other through the challenges and through the hardships of life. But never forget that God's grace and his mercy are endless. There's an endless supply of his grace and his mercy. His mercies are new every morning. So even when that alarm clock goes tomorrow morning, Monday morning, we all know the feeling. And guess what? It's not a bank holiday this week. Ah, come on, I've been getting used to four-day weeks. It's been quite nice thinking, Sunday evening, great day off tomorrow, can't wait. What am I going to do tomorrow? But now back to work for a five-day week. Come on, five-day week. Anyway, that's tomorrow. But when the alarm clock goes off tomorrow, his mercies are new every morning. I wake up trying to tell myself that. Not easy, because often the first thought when you wake up is, why is that alarm going off? It surely can't be 6 o'clock already. But it is, and it's time to remind ourselves that God is with us and that his mercies are new every morning. You know, it says in his word, he is an ever-present help in times of need. He doesn't desert us or flee us, like can often be the case with friends and colleagues and people that you know who often could flee you or desert you in your moment of crisis, but God is ever present in our times of need. And we need to encourage these people today as they are baptized in water that God is with them and is an ever-present help in times of need. And we, the church, are responsible to help each of these people in their individual walks with God. So let us think and pray today about ways that we can do that actively in their life. But after all that hardship, after all that challenge, after all that trouble, there is an answer, and the answer is Jesus Christ. Will you let me tell him about you? Tell him about Jesus this morning? Can I tell you about Jesus a little bit this morning? Is that okay? You happy for me to do that? Great. Well, he was born in the most lowly of places, in squalor and basic conditions. Now, he was the King of Kings, but he had no fanfare entrance to this world. He deserved a royal entrance, didn't he? I mean, we've just been seeing the fanfare and royalty last weekend, didn't we? We all saw it on the TV. In fact, the weekend before, Becky and I had our first weekend away in 10 years. Wow, without the kids, that is. Often, you know, we're away with the family, but to not have the kids, just the two of us. And we say, well, what are we going to do? Forgive us, it was Sunday morning, and we probably should have been in church, but we decided it was a bit of time for us. So we went on a sightseeing trip around London, as you would do. And we thought, well, how are we going to cover all this ground? So we decided to go for a run together. Now, you might say that's not very exciting, but for us, it was good fun. We don't often get the chance to go running together. So we went for a run through central London. Boy, it's busy at 8 o'clock on a Sunday morning. But anyway, you could see them preparing. You could see all the gates going up, all the fences, all the security, which says, stay out. You're not worthy. You're not part of this. You can witness it. You can view it. But you're not part of that. You got no right to be anywhere near Buckingham Palace. Of course, you can look on. Feel free to look on. And if you're one of the lucky ones, you might have run to the front the following weekend to try and get as close a view as to what was going on as possible. But you're not allowed in. Certainly we weren't. We didn't have a ticket. We weren't worthy enough to enter the gates of Buckingham Palace. But you know what? That is so different in the kingdom of God. We often talk about the kingdom of God being in reverse, upside down. We're not worthy to enter the holy of holy places, but because of what Jesus has done, we get to go there every day. How amazing is that? The gates are wide open. We can run in. We can physically run into the presence of God every day because of what Jesus has done. I'm not told to stand outside and just watch, just observe, but we all get to partake, each and every one of us. Doesn't matter your background, doesn't matter who you are, where you've come from, we each get to run through the gates and enjoy the presence of God each and every day of our lives. He walked the earth as a humble servant. There isn't a greater, more humble servant in this entire earth than Jesus Christ. He chose to be obedient to his Father and committed no sin in the years he lived on this earth. He lived a perfect life as an example to you and me. Now, brothers and sisters, I know we are never going to be able to live up to that expectation of Jesus and to live a life with no sin. We fall, we fail. But as I said before, we have an answer in Jesus Christ. And by the Spirit of God that is active and working in us, he draws us back into him, into his presence. And so we know that moment. And I hope, maybe it won't, but maybe tomorrow you'll humor me a little bit, that if the alarm clock goes off, maybe, I don't know, maybe the first thing you might think tomorrow morning is, his mercies are new every morning. That might not work for you, but occasionally it does for me, just to try and remind myself of Bible verses. I did start putting, like with all these new alarm clocks and stuff, you can put whatever noise you want to wake you up in the morning, and I did start putting a few Christian songs, but I found it really put me off the Christian songs. Every time I heard, there's one particular song, I won't repeat it, but now every time I hear it, I'm like, oh my goodness, it's time to wake up. What's going on? So hopefully Pete hasn't got that as a response this morning, otherwise you'll see me running out the door. But he died a perfect death in order that the Father might raise him from the dead to atone for our sins. His death and his resurrection brought us life. And we pray that in the name of Jesus, every knee would bow, and one day every tongue will confess that he is God. I'm going to read a few more verses to you now, if that's okay. Just look at what God has done for us. In Psalm 139, you'll know this well, but from 1 to 14 it says, O Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all of my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord. You hem me in, behind and before. You have laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. Incredible scripture, incredible psalm that talks about the closeness of God to each one of us. That's how God sees us. The intimate aspect of our characters, of our lives, he hems us in. He is a rock beneath our feet. And I'm going to go on to one of my favorite passages of the Bible, if that's okay. So let's look at what God has done for us and then put it into this light. In Ephesians 2, it says, as for you, us, You were dead in your transgressions and your sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive. There's that word again. He made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved, and God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, a free gift to each one of us. Not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. And look at that. Steve is so efficient. He even manages to get the biblical verses on the screen without me even knowing it. We are alive in Christ. The Christian life doesn't end at the point at which you say goodbye to the old and enter the new. That's not the end. That's the beginning. As someone once said to Becky and I, on the day that you get married, the wedding day, that's the starting point. That's not the end. That's not supposed to be the highlight. That is the very beginning. And you go on your journey from there. And that is exactly what our walk with God is like. Each and every day, there are ups and there are downs. But God walks beside us. He carries us through the difficult times. He's there in every moment. And that is the certainty, the assurance that each one of us can have because of the precious words of Jesus. And so what does he require of us, you might ask? Well, in Matthew 22:37, if I've done this correctly, I should be able to pick this up. It says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment." So our commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. Let me encourage those who are being baptized today. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. With everything that you have, give him everything. And boy, is it an amazing journey. Isn't it incredible when God actually uses you? Alan shared this morning of God at work in people's lives all over the world, right? God is active and alive by the power of his Spirit. He doesn't take a holiday, doesn't take a break, doesn't just say, well, you know what? This decade, I'm just going to take off. I'll leave it. God is always at work. I pray that he would be at work within you this morning. That we wouldn't just see it as testimonies around the world of what's happening, but that God, by his Spirit, who is active and alive here, would break into our lives, would transform us, would help us, would equip us, would anoint us, would show us his love again this morning. And so when we go and witness and watch these people being baptized in water, don't just watch on passively, but recognize that God can work and move in you today. Be ready for him. Be ready for him to move and be at work in you today. And let's be ready as a church to love these people and help them on their journeys. And so it's not just the great commandment, but of course, we know about the great commission. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. We are encouraged to go into the world and make disciples of all nations. This is a very outward sign of what we believe. Literally out in a car park in the middle of Fairwater. This is us declaring that we love God. That we love Jesus and we choose to follow Jesus. And we want to be an open, inclusive place where people can run in, can come up and ask questions, can get to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. That's what we're here for. That's our mission. Our mission is to worship God and to give him everything we have and share that with as many people as we possibly can. And that's our heart's prayer today. His encouragement to us is found in Hebrews 12, verse 1 to 3, where it says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God." Let me encourage you to fix your eyes on Jesus this morning. Now, I could go on, and I've been known to, but I am conscious that we have an amazing upcoming few moments where these wonderful people will devote their lives to Jesus. So I'm going to come to a close. But in coming to a close, I'm going to leave you with three thoughts this morning, if I can. And I don't know whether the band might want to quickly come back up and get ready to respond in a song or two, because I think this will give you a moment to just reflect before we go into the celebration and the party. And in that moment of reflection, I wouldn't mind you just thinking about these three questions, if you can, and just consider them. So as we celebrate and we rejoice about the lives being committed to Christ, let's consider these three things. One, how we will help these people in their walks and their journey with God. Let's be active. Let's be praying. How can you help these people in their walks with God? Number two, do we have our eyes fixed on Jesus this morning? Are you coming this morning? It's actually almost this afternoon. But are you coming today with your eyes fixed on Jesus? Or are your eyes fixed somewhere else? Is your focus somewhere else today? Just take a few moments now as we respond in worship to think about that. Where's our focus? At the start of each year, I like to sit down and think about, where's my focus? Where am I spending my time? Where am I committing my life? Where am I committing myself? Am I serving God wholeheartedly? Am I giving him every single moment of my life? Is everything I do focused upon him? Just reflect on that this morning. And you know what? God can turn your eyes like that and can help us to fix our eyes on Jesus at any moment. So that's question number two. Question one, how we help these people. Question number two, have we got our eyes fixed on Jesus Christ this morning? And number three, do we need to come back to the throne of God and recommit our lives, ourselves again? Mike referred earlier to his own personal experience of water baptism. And maybe you've been baptized in water, but you look back and think, goodness me, all those years ago, I was on fire for God. What's happened in the years that have gone by? Do we need to recommit ourselves again this morning, today? Recommit our lives to serving him wholeheartedly. So those three questions again. How will we help these people on their walks with God? Number two, do we have our eyes fixed on Jesus? And number three, do we need to come back to the throne of God and recommit ourselves to him again this morning? I'm just going to pray, and the band are going to lead us in a short time of worship as we respond and prepare our hearts and our lives for this moment of celebration together. Lord, it is an absolute joy to be here today, to witness these people being baptized in water. And we can't wait, Lord. We look forward, we long to hear the testimonies of what you're doing in their lives. And we want to serve and help and do what we can to encourage these people in their own personal lives and walks with you. But Lord, first it starts with us, right? We come before you individually, Lord. And we ask you to help us as we appraise where we are at, Lord God, where our lives are at. Are our eyes fixed on Jesus, or is our gaze being taken away? Are we being distracted? What's our focus? Are we fixed upon you, Lord Jesus? Help us to have our eyes fixed on Jesus this morning, Lord. And if we look back over the time and look back and think about moments in our walks with you when we were more on fire, we felt more on fire. Lord, would you rekindle that flame? Lord, would you fan into flame right now that heart's desire to serve you, to walk with you, to shout about you, to declare that you're a loving Father? I pray this morning, Lord, as we respond to you today, Lord, would you meet us exactly where each one of us is at? And would you pour out your Spirit upon us in Jesus' name? Amen.